It's a joy to be with you today, and there's quite a good theme happening. I prayed and really felt to speak on the joy-fueled life. And what's the first song we sang? Come on. Thank you guys for hearing the Lord with me. It's awesome. I really do hope that today is very encouraging for you, strengthening, and ultimately transformative in your life. And even talking about joy in this season, it's easy to sing the songs, but really, studies show that this time of year, there's more depression than any time of year, more suicide, because of the lack of family and the lack of joy. And it kind of exacerbates the loneliness, the isolation that so many of us are. Even in a big family or in a big crowd or in a church, there can be a real sense of loneliness. And so what I'm going to share today as an antidote to that, it's actually a God-given, scientifically proven formula and principle, biblical principle, that really releases true, organic, authentic joy in our lives, and not just a one-off. So what I'm going to attempt to bring forth is to encourage you to make this a lifestyle with you and the Lord and you and each other, ultimately fulfilling the greatest commandment. And as we know, we can't love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength without receiving love. You know, John said, we love because first been loved. And the same with each other. We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to be in life-giving relationships where we're receiving and giving love. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm stoked. This is actually something that's really been stirring in me for a couple of years. And actually, Robertson. I'll just say, do you go by his last name? Pastor Keith. And I actually have been talking about this for a few years, just our own journey of learning how to share from our heart, the voice of the heart. Has anybody been around the last couple of years where all this understanding of how we need to understand how to share our heart with each other so we can connect to one another? Well, this is in that same stream of thinking. It's about connection with God and with each other. But it's gold. This is amazing. So it's not anything new. Some of the information, I've been reading a couple of books that are similar to what Chip Dodd has brought. You've heard Chip Dodd a few times. And some of his language comes from sources that I've been reading as well. And and it's connected to neuroscience. And Chip may have mentioned some of that. This is scientific, you know, your brain, how it operates and things. So I'm going to share a little bit of the science part of it and a lot about the word part of it. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. So let's just look at the first verse as one that you all know. It's in Nehemiah 8:10. And Nehemiah, it's a time where they're mourning, and he says, hey, go eat some raisin cakes and feed each other. Like, hey, don't be overwhelmed, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you break that down, it's why I came up with the title of this message, Joy-Fueled Life. Because if the joy of the Lord is your strength, strength is power, it's energy, it's fuel. So joy fuels you, strengthens you. And we really need joy. It's not just an emotion of, you know, a feeling of happiness. There's something that, it's interesting that, like, in neuroscience, joy is defined as the emotion you feel when someone's glad to be with you. It's something, joy comes from connection. It's when someone's like, oh, you're here. And a couple of you said that to me. That was really nice. Thank you. But it's fundamentally different from excitement or pleasure. When you have pleasure, it's like self-serving. It's dopamine. It gives you dopamine. It's addictive. You know, it's the dopamine part of your brain that's released. But joy, when you experience joy, it activates parts of your brain that are connected to your attachment. And I'm going to get into a little scientific language here. Please bear with me. You came to church to learn about reality, life. This is reality. So the joy activates attachment circuitry. It's areas of the brain that tell us I belong, I am seen, and I matter. And I'm going to just, for the sake of the science of it, the parts of the brain that are activated when you experience this attachment, this relational connectivity that releases joy, the parts of your brain is the right orbital prefrontal cortex, ROPC, and it builds relational identity. That's where your identity is built in that part of your brain. Who I am is affected by joy that's released from a connection with someone that's happy to see you. This all starts when you're a baby, by the way. The anterior cingulate cortex, or ACC, it regulates your emotions. So this relational joy regulates your emotions, teaches you the emotional intelligence, gives you that emotional security. The mirror neuron systems allow us to read faces and synchronize with others. When you experience joy, you're reading, you see it in someone's face, and you can mirror back. You can give back what you receive. And then the vagus nerve regulates calm, connection, and safety. The vagus nerve is affected by joy in this relational connection, which gives you this sense of calm, sense of peace. The nerve goes, the stem cell of your brain, but it goes to your heart, your lungs, your gut. It goes to all your circuitry, your body. And that is what you need to settle down, to know how to rest, not be anxious. That is all connected. That all fires when you experience this joy. Is that wild? So joy to the world means a lot more than just let's smile and have some cake. Like, this is transformational. And then so it all starts when you have a newborn. When you are a newborn, this is what happened. When a parent looks at a baby with soft eyes, like eyes full of love and delight in their face, the baby can read that. Now, they don't see right away. Unfortunately, it's like around 3 months that they actually can focus in on you. But what happens is the baby's face mirrors back and he experiences, I'm happy to be with you. And then the ROPC, that part of his brain, all of a sudden identity is wired in the baby through that joy. And then oxytocin, serotonin, endogenous opioids, which are all comfort chemicals, are released to the baby through that joy. This is scientific. And the Bible's full of exhortations and us to experience the joy of the Lord and us to release this to each other. So through that, the baby's nervous system learns safety. This literally builds the child's capacity to return to peace after distress. And then this is why trauma, neglect, or emotionally absent parenting results in anxiety, difficulty trusting, identity confusion, insecurity, and poor emotional regulation. When you don't receive this joy in this emotional relational connection, that's what our modern society is. Most of us experience one of these things. So joy is the birthplace of identity. And then the brain stores identity in the same circuits used in infancy of who I am, who my people are, and then how do we return to peace together? So joy is not like, it's not a static state, right? We go through hardships and weeping, and we'll get into that, and pain and suffering. That's guaranteed part of life. But what this teaches you is how to return to joy, how to return to peace. And that's what a baby learns. When someone, shared joy regulates the nervous system, builds resilience to stress, creates secure attachment in relationships, strengthens emotional maturity and empathy, reduces fear, shame, and isolation. Those are the positives of experienced joy, when you have that connection. So it's not too late. I'm like, my kids are grown. I'm like, oh my goodness, why didn't I know this before? I would have smiled more. You know, it's like, I thought I was helping them by being this over-concerned, kind of like insecure leader. I've got to get my kids to look perfect. It was more about me than it was about them, to be honest. I've repented to them several times for that. So low joy relationships require constant performance, control, or emotional distance. That's how a low emotional relationship is. You control them, you keep distant. High joy relationships feel like safety, acceptance, mutual delight, and emotional home. I can rest. So, the greatest picture of this, let's just look at Psalm 4, 6 to 7. It says, there are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You've put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. What gives joy in our heart? Lifting up your face upon us. That's that picture of a father, a mother, holding a baby, lifting their face up and looking upon this child, this newborn, and it's this joy fills your heart more than wine and grain abounding, more than any external pleasure. That's not just drinking the wine, it's having an abundance, having a lot of wealth, having a lot of security in the natural. The face of God looking at us gives us more joy, fills our heart. Now that's what we want to tap into and learn how to experience. I want to just, part of this study, when I was studying this, was just the revelation that it's something about the face. And the neuroscience says what releases joy is what you see in someone's face. And it's like, look, good to see you, son. Hey, welcome home. I love you. You're so amazing. Just, I'm so excited to see you. You know, that doesn't do it. If they look at the eyes, look at the face, it releases something. All those crazy chemicals that give you identity, security, calm, rest, come from face. And so when, you know, I learned this a while back because I love to look up, you know, words and things, but every time the Old Testament says presence of God, the word presence is not presence in the original Hebrew. It's what they translated to presence. Do you know what it is? Every time it says presence, it's face. God is not a feeling. It's not a force. It's not an emotion. We say, gosh, I just felt the Lord's presence. What did you feel, little goosebumps or a little warmth? Felt a little fuzzy, warm, tingly feeling? That's not his presence. His presence is his face. It's him. It's a person was in the room today. And we experienced his face shining on us. That's biblical. When you experience and you get wiped out from the presence of God, and you're just like, oh my gosh, it's not the hovering, vibing force of God with you. It is his face shining on you, like a father or mother just gushing over a newborn. That's him. That's what fills your heart with joy. So let's look at one of my favorite verses that we, the benediction that Keith gives at the end. Let's look at number 6. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his son saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. There it is. That's our source. I'm like thinking sauce right here. No, it's a secret sauce. It's the source of our joy. Identity, security, peace, calm. I'm home. I can rest when his face shines on you. This verse should give you immense joy. But I challenge you, we need to picture this. We need to experience this. Let his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And then the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. It's the same thing again. It's the word face. Lift up his face on you again. Twice in this benediction is his face shining on you. Twice. And what's in between them is be gracious to you. In case you forget the context, it's gracious face shining. Oh, what comes before the first face shining? He's going to keep you. So picture this. The Lord bless you. It's like I am posturing. Let's pretend it's me as a father and this baby or my granddaughter. It's like I'm going to bless you. I'm picking you up to bless you. And I'm going to keep you. I'm holding you tight. Not letting you go. You're safe. And now I'm going to let my face shine on you. And I'm going to be gracious to you. There's nothing you can't do that's going to keep my love from you. It's all grace. And then I'm going to lift up my face on you again. And then I'm going to give you peace. Oh, it's okay. Shh. That's what that passage is about. Our Father saying, I want to bless you and I'm going to keep you. And I'm going to look at me. Look at my joy. And I'm gracious. Do you feel the grace? Now look at my face again. Feel the joy. And then, by the way, feel supernatural shalom, peace that protects and comforts. And all that overdosing of God's joy is going to give you identity. It's going to give you peace, that security. We don't need just to go to hours and hours of counseling because of depression and anxiety and all the kind of disorders that come with that. We need to get joy from the Lord. Science backs this up. And the Bible is full of passages about the Lord's face shining on you, which is the answer that we need. Is that amazing? I'm going to give you just a couple verses because I said face, but I just want to prove it. I didn't even give them to the guys, so just listen to this. Exodus 33:14 says, he said, my presence will go with you. I'll give you rest. And they said, if your presence doesn't go with me, you know, do not bring us up from here. That's Moses talking to God. The word there is, my face will go with you. And my face will give you rest. That's literally what it says. Deuteronomy says, because you loved your fathers, chose the offspring after them, brought you out of Egypt with his own presence by his great power. It says with his own face is what it says literally. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. It literally is in your face is fullness of joy. Isn't this wild? These are all passages that say his face. If you make him most blessed forever, you make him glad with the joy of your presence. It's literally, you make him glad with the joy of your face. We aren't not experiencing the fullness of what God has for us because we're not looking at a person when we're reading about his presence. So I've changed the way I think when worship times, we're talking about his presence and, you know, caught up in your presence. I try to picture his face. And this is, you know, it's not idolatry. We're not looking at, but you might say, well, I don't know what he looks like. Well, who kind of reminds you of him? I don't know. Have you seen a movie that's of the Father, or, you know, what does that look like? To me, it's, you know, I'm picturing someone with grayer hair and, you know, just a Father. I've had a couple visions of the Father, but a lot of times our minds associate it with some, I don't know if Jonathan Rumi is, you know, you can picture his face for Jesus. I don't know. I'm not telling you what to do, but I am telling you, let your imagination picture the face of God and let his eyes be full of love and his smile shining on you. You know, when it says open the eyes of our understanding, the literal word there is the eyes of our imagination to know you. So let the Holy Spirit show you his face. Okay, we'll go back to, I want to look at the New Testament. So 2 Corinthians 3:18, I love this. It says, we all with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. When you see a mirror, you're seeing a face look at you, and it's the glory of the Lord's face looking at you. So you're transformed by beholding the face of Jesus. It's the same principle. Then just if the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's going back, quoting Genesis 1:1, where there was darkness and void. And it was like this, the Hebrew word there for darkness is like this chaos. And then God said, let there be light. And it wasn't like the sun. The sun came on the fourth day, by the way. When it was light, it brought illumination. That's the word there for light. It brought clarity. It brought order, brought focus out of the confusion and chaos. So he's using that verse. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, brought this illumination, this clarity out of confusion and chaos, has shone in our hearts. This, something happens to our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, this illumination of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Is that awesome? And then just this whole thing with joy in John 15:4-11. The most repeated command Jesus gave was to abide or remain in me. And so John, I'm just going to read this, the whole past, whole John 15, the first half is about abiding. But verse four says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And then verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, this whole passage about abiding in me. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Man, I never saw all this, how important this is, and how from the very beginning, when God spoke light in the darkness, it was this, his shining is what illuminates us. His light that created the world, that light in his eyes, that shining from his face is what creates identity in you and separates the chaos and confusion out of your life clarifies who you are, where your home is, where you belong. And then joy also, besides giving us identity and giving us strength, Jesus mentions in Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy set before him. So is this joy, I believe, the delight of the Father for his obedience and what he was doing, that delight, that joy from the Father, but also the delight of having all of us as part of his family. But the joy is what caused him to endure. So for our lives, we're going to go through hardship, suffering, pain, disappointments. And we're not immune to it. We have the world, we have the flesh, we have the enemy. But God, this joy, if we're experiencing joy from the Lord and releasing joy to each other, we can endure. We can persevere. Remember, it's the fuel. It's the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. This is super important, especially in this time of year. And then Psalm 30, verse 5, you know, says, weeping may tarry for the night. We may have sorrow and weeping for the night, but joy comes in the morning. What we need to learn is not just to be clap happy pretending. We need to experience genuine pain, disappointment, and acknowledge it and be honest about it, but we can return to joy. That scripture says you can return to joy. It doesn't have to be a full day of sorrow. And then there's something about the necessity that we release this to each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. God wants us to build each other up. So practically, I want to end with just practical activation. And with a lot of the stuff that Chip Dodd taught about with connection, I've practiced a lot with my wife. And the thing that, as I've been looking at this, we've incorporated this in our sharing, you know, how are you? And sharing our emotions, sharing our feelings. It's crazy how it works, is just smiling at one another. And not fake, but just smiling. And they say with babies too, it's you can't just smile indefinitely. You need to look away. They said baby actually doesn't, it's not as strong if you just continually stare at their face and try to make them happy for like 3 hours straight. It says, you know, after a minute or two, you look away. You give the baby a break. And then they need to look away. Sometimes they do. You'll see kids just look away, because like overstimulating, and it doesn't go as deep in their heart. And then they come, but they're always coming back, like, I'm ready for more now. And the same with us. We need to just gaze at one another with joy, with this heart of love. And there's something about, I was reading a book about this, that when you release joy to one another, and you receive it, and then the response is you thank the other person, like being thankful. Thank you for this. Thank you. You know, appreciate this. This thankfulness cultivates more joy. They said it's this cycle that doesn't stop. When you release joy to someone else, and they're thankful, and then it makes you feel more joy, and then it just feeds itself. And so I've found with my wife, if we're practicing this, it is better than an ice cream or whatever kind of dopamine, any kind of addiction, you know? Because this does not leave you like empty afterwards, which dopamine does. This kind of joy just gives you great security and comfort and rest which you can cruise on for days. So are you ready to try it? I'm going to give you a few just practical steps and then we'll pray. This is just with the Lord. This is Todd's thoughts. This is not scripture, but here's one thing you can do for 5 minutes. I just challenge you. Close your eyes, picture Jesus looking at you, and then notice his expression. Let his face shine on you. And then just say, Jesus, thank you that you're glad to be with me. And then wait and just receive his joy. And that it's not something you can earn, but it's something you inherit as a son and a daughter. And this is how you refuel your joy. Can I just pray? And I don't know if you want to even, maybe we could practice that. Is that okay? Okay, I'm a guest speaker. I can just do it, right? Are you okay with that? Can we have some? That's awesome. Yeah, I just really sensed this morning, like the Lord, as I was praying for y'all this morning and I got some words. The Lord just said, remind them of the Lord's delight. How he's with you. The Lord said, remind them that he walks with you. That he's your shepherd. And that he longs to connect to you. That he's always here to provide for you, to protect you, to bless you. And I felt the Lord say, tell them the Father's favor follows them. The Father's favor follows you. That he wants deep heart connect with you, to give you fresh identity. Overwhelming love. He wants to keep you longing for more intimacy, more connection. So Holy Spirit, I just ask, would you come in this room this morning? That you desire this more than we do. You want to love us more than we even know we need. But we just, this morning, we just say yes. We say yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So I'm just going to lead you through what I read there at the end of just practical way, just so you could remember it. Why don't we just close your eyes? If you're not closing your eyes, and Lord, we just pray you'd silence any of our own imagination, the enemy, any of the flesh. We just invite Jesus to be the center of this time and say, Holy Spirit, help us right now encounter God, encounter Jesus. So let's picture Jesus looking at you. Notice his expression. Do you see his smile? Let his face shine on you. Sometimes I just smile as I'm, and it takes hope, expecting his goodness, expecting his kindness. So just picture his smile, picture his, it just radiating on you. And in that place, just say, Jesus, thank you that you're glad to be with me. just receive his joy. It's nothing you can earn. It's not time to confess your sins, or, you know, sometimes we want to wash our hands before he gives us a bath. Let's just let him wash over us with love. I'm going to switch to the Father now, and just out of number six, just let the Father lift you up as he postures himself to bless you. He just wants to give you everything he has. And let him just hold you tight, that he keeps you, doesn't let you go. You're safe, you're kept. And look up to this Father's big arms holding you, and let his face shine on you as well. You see his eyes, his smile, his, that warmth of love. And just picture he's being gracious to you. There's, again, nothing you earn. You feel his heartbeat holding you. And let him lift up his countenance upon you again. His face, full of joy, full of delight. And then just let him give you that peace, a comforting peace, that you are home. You are secure. You are loved. It's that unconditional love that releases joy. So just now, just receive the joy from the Father. Pray over you. Holy Spirit, I ask, would you just come and you rewire our brains to experience all these benefits of joy? Would you replace the dopamine pleasure seeking false comforts? Would you release that ancient identity forming joy from being unconditionally loved? I pray you'd rewire people's brains right now from the lack of identity, the lack of security, the lack of comfort, the lack of rest. I just say, Lord, right now, release a healing on anyone who's experienced abandonment, rejection, loneliness, neglect. And I just pray right now, would you just come and just bring a renewal. And I just speak over you, you are secure in the Lord. You have a hope and a future. You can rest in the Lord. You're a beloved son and daughter. I just speak to your core, to your identity. You're a beloved son. You're a beloved daughter whom he's well pleased. So, Father, I just pray that you'd do this renewal work in us, even as we practice this daily and weekly and monthly and the rest of our lives. But I pray you'd use, I pray an activation right now on everyone in this room to be able to release joy to others. to release unconditional love, to release blessing, to look in the eyes with joy. We first see each other, or even in the middle of a dinner, just remember, oh, I'm just gonna stare with delight. So I just bless each of you in this season where there's so much depression, so much anxiety and stress, and even kind of like materialism, like, I want that. Or do they need the, you know, all the stuff. And I just pray that you would cut through it with kingdom love and kingdom joy. There would just be a revolution in families and in marriages and friendships. In Jesus' name, amen.